It's Garden Talk with Noel. Noel, this is the long weekend.
It is.
Labor weekend. Is it the final long weekend, I think, before we get to the Christmas season?
I think so. And, you know, a lot of people will tell you that this is the pinnacle weekend where everyone should be going out and planting the likes of many of their favourite vegetables or their cold-sensitive vegetables. And basically that means like cucumbers and courgettes or zucchinis, if you know them as zucchinis, and tomatoes and pumpkins and all those sorts of things. And yes, that technically should be the case. But, you know, Mother Nature is quite fickle, and she's been fickle this year.
Certainly has with the
year. So we don't know where we're at. So for those people that are eager to get all those cucumbers out into the garden and their tomatoes and things, just watch to see, watch carefully what the weather is going to do, because it can turn on the head of a pin. We just don't know. If you're worried, be cautious. And keep them somewhere where they're warm, near a warm windowsill, something like that. You're not going to harm them. You can only going to let them grow a little bit bigger anyway. And then maybe over the next few weeks, you should be able to plant those things out without too much of a problem. I've even known people that have put out corn, and that's fine. But the thing is, all they need is a couple of extra cold nights and a bit too much moisture around their roots, and they'll just rot off, you know. So just be a little bit cautious there. Like I said, Mother Nature this year hasn't made up her mind how she wants to deal with us. And I think it changes from week to week.
I think it does. And, of course, it's not just the cold weather, it's the wind as well.
Absolutely. We've had wind for so long. We've had wind far earlier than normal. And the wind has been coming and going, and it's been horrendous, basically. It's been really damaging for a lot of people. They've lost big trees. They've lost shrubs. And that's a real shame, because that means extra expense for people to get out there and get things changed, chopped out professionally and what have you. Yes, they may end up with firewood at the end result, but
the thing
is, it's devastating to think that you can lose a loved tree, and it doesn't take much. So it's been pretty hard on a lot of people these days, and I think now's the time to take stock. I wouldn't just trust with the calendar, because Mother Nature doesn't follow a calendar.
No.
So just be cautious. Get your favourite vegetables ready. Of course, by all means, get them while you can. The choices are right now. But just be cautious when and where you place them at the point in time.
If somebody has lost a tree in the wild weather and the wild winds, Japanese maple is a good option, isn't it?
Well, I tell you what, they are looking stunning right now with all that new, fresh spring growth. I think the Japanese maples, or aces as we know them, are incredibly overlooked as a spring foliage plant. They can be kept as shrubs or small trees, and they are very, very much overlooked. I know I've touched on this in the past, but they are one of my favourites. So I often come back to them, but I think they are always, you know, thought about in an autumnal sense. So for people to plant a Japanese maple, how good will it look in the autumn? You know, I still consider that when I'm buying Japanese maples, because I want to get the most out of them. And I love autumn. But their new spring fresh growth is something to behold. At the moment, mine in the garden are all coming to life. And they give me great excitement when I look at them through the windows. And I think, oh, you're looking gorgeous, you know. And I can see they put on so much growth at this time of the year. So for anyone out there with younger Japanese maples in their garden and they're thinking, what should I do? Throw a little bit of fertilizer at them right now. This is a really good time. They'll uptake that fertilizer very quickly. And, of course, that'll go into the branch development and, of course, stronger foliage as well. But they, too, can succumb to Mother Nature's windy proportions. So this is something to take a hold of. Most Japanese maples don't want to grow out in the middle of a garden where they're constantly battered by wind. They like a little bit of protection. And that protection could come from a house or another building, such as a garage or something like that, or a shed. As long as they're not left out on their open, on their own constantly. The finer the leaf, or when we know that as the dissectum range, the finer the leaf, the more protection they need.
Right.
The broader the leaf, then the more sun, the more wind they will tolerate as they grow up older. I've got some older, very mature Japanese maples in my garden, and those are sitting out in the full sun with the wind and everything. So, but they will succumb to dryness, so keep them watered very well over the summer. But something else I wanted to touch on too, for those people that may have lost a few shrubs or maybe something in a hedge, or they just want to fill up a corner and they haven't been able to find the right plant. Well, maybe consider some of the viburnums. So the Viburnum plicatum series is absolutely beautiful. In fact, they look like another plant that people often get them confused for. People think that they're a hydrangea, but they're not. These are a deciduous shrub, and they have beautiful flat florets. In fact, the actual white part of the flower, most of them are white, they're not flowers at all. They're just florets, they're just to attract the pollinator. And the actual flowers are tiny and quite minuscule right in the centre. So it's not difficult to understand why people, you know, look at them and think, oh, there must be a hydrangea. Mm. The other one is the snowball tree. That's also a viburnum. So it's a beautiful thing. So they call it the snowball bush because the flowers look like a big round snowball.
Right.
And they hang off this shrub, which stands very stately in a garden up to 3 meters. And honestly, you have to look at them when they're in flower. You cannot drive past or walk past
without looking
at one of these plants. The heads start off a beautiful, intense lime green, actually, and they hang like that for a while and they all start to turn white.
Wow.
The beauty of these is they will also turn autumn colours. So many viburnums have lovely autumnal foliage. So you get another season out of them well after the summertime.
Mm.
They make stately shrubs. They'll make beautiful fillers in a garden. Once they're settled in and they're happy, there's no stopping them. They're quite drought tolerant. They're quite tough and hardy. They're difficult to kill. And they're not really afflicted by diseases.
It sounds like the perfect tree.
They are. They're a lovely plant. They're very old-fashioned, Dan, and I would love people to maybe reintroduce themselves to the world of viburnums, and some are absolutely beautiful. Some have a lovely perfume about them as well. Of course, there are viburnums for screening and hedging, and there are others that are just beautiful in themselves, just as a nice woodland shrub or even as a shrub in a corner. Like I said, they don't need a lot of care and attention once established. So they are really one of those lower maintenance style plants.
Are they a rapid grower?
Well, they put on all their growth at once they're finished flowering or while they're flowering. This is the time that they put on their growth now.
Right.
So about once a year, like most of those sorts of things, and they grow throughout the warmer months and that's it. You don't have to. The only pruning they really need is to deadhead them.
Right.
So things such as the plicatums, you don't need to go deadhead a great deal because they flower all along the branches horizontally, whereas the other forms, the opulus or what I was mentioning about, such as the big mophead hydrangea type flowers, those you just prune off when you finish, and you just prune back to the first set of new growth, and that's all the plant needs really for the entire year.
Pretty easy care.
Yeah.
Somebody on Facebook Marketplace was giving away some agapanthus. They dug them out.
Good.
I was thinking, how did they dig them out?
Well, that's a tough thing, isn't it, to dig out agapanthus? I would like to say to anyone out there, if you want agapanthus, you need to really know that you really want agapanthus.
Yeah.
Because 5 years, 6 years down the track, if you decide you no longer want the agapanthus, I'm talking about the old-fashioned form now, the larger growing varieties, they can be an absolute
P-I-T-A.
Something really hard to get out of the ground, and you will curse the day you planted them. In saying that, agapanthus are very dependable. They're incredibly dependable for difficult sites, for really difficult dry areas of the garden. For long sweeping driveways, they can look very, very effective, especially if you use just the one colour.
Mm.
And, you know, you just need to make sure that if you want Agapanthus, you need to know you really want the Agapanthus. Now, for those people that may have, say, inherited the Agapanthus in a garden, don't just think of it as a problematic plant. Maybe look at the opportunity to dig it up in the autumn time and transplant it to another part of the garden that could be difficult for other things to grow, whereas the Agapanthus will probably survive there. And give lots of colour. I mean, that's one of the things they do. They put those lovely big heads of blue and white, and you get a bit of lilac in there. And these days you can also get the dwarf forms. The dwarf forms are certainly far, far easier to manipulate and use in smaller spaces. The larger ones will tend to outgrow. They're very dependable in the sense that they'll grow in part shade, in almost full shade I've seen them grow, or full sun. Of course, they're going to flower the absolute best in the full sun. But, yeah, just make sure you really want the Agapanthus.
Very good advice. What have you got in stock at the moment that's just come in? And
oh, my gosh, we've got so many different things out there right now. The nursery is absolutely brimming with new varieties. I've got lavenders as far as the eye can see, so many different coloured lavenders. The marguerite daisies that are out there as well, come in all the different shades of pink and cerise and white and yellow and lemon. They're very pretty. People love them. Mm-hmm. They have a real nostalgic flavour about them. There are, of course, the swan plants that have come back into stock now as well, getting ready for the new season of the monarch butterflies.
Perfect.
So for all those would-be monarch butterfly farmers out there, the stocks are now ready to be planted.
Fantastic.
We've got all those. And of course, all the summer colours. So look at getting those sorts of things in. Azaleas are looking gorgeous right now. It's very difficult for me to pinpoint just one plant when I'm thinking of a whole range of real pretty things and colour and interest. I'll tell you something. We've got good old-fashioned Solomon seal in, which is such a sweet little thing, and some irises.
Oh, wow.
Now, we've got some Japanese water irises, and we've got some Siberica irises. They'll grow in a similar sort of situation, damp soil, full sun. And, of course, irises have this most incredible stately and romantic look about them. I can't often walk past an iris. They would have to be in one of my top 10 favourite flowers, the iris family. So these are gorgeous, and they're not yet in flower because they're quite young, but they will flower a little bit later in the season. And we've got other things just on their way. So it's always a wonderful expedition into the nursery where you can discover beautiful things. Oh, I forgot to mention clematis. See how many beautiful things are out there? All the glorious climbing clematis right now, which are pretty breathtaking when it comes to flowers for spring. The wisterias are there with all of their promise. And, oh, my gosh, I think I better stop now. I've got so many lovely plants that I could gabble on about.
So come in and see them.
Absolutely. Come in. If you're unsure what to do, if you're unsure what you need, take a photograph of the area. This is an important thing. Take a photograph of the space, and maybe if you have a moment, do a quick measurement, and if you're unsure what you need to do, and we can all help you.
Fantastic. Thanks for your time, Noel. Appreciate it as always, and we'll catch up again next week.
Thank you, Dan.